holy body. And Lord, many people have died that we might have the Bible in our hands. Lord, help us not to neglect to read your word and take heed to your word. So bless the Lord as the message go forth, and we pray that hearts will be blessed and souls will be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. So my little talk this evening will be about the coming holiday, which isn't really a formal holiday, but I think for many people, the only day that's next to Christmas is Mother's Day, which is coming up this coming Sunday. And one of my sayings, you're aware that I do right to life work. I go in front of an abortion clinic twice a week, sidewalk counseling, trying to speak to the girls and tell them that it's wrong to kill their babies and that there are people who will help them. And one of my favorite sayings is, thank God not all women believe in abortion. That's why there's Mother's Day. And even if you were not brought up by your biological mother, still be thankful to her that she gave you birth. Because she could have had an abortion, or she could have thrown you in the river, or in the garbage. We read so many horrible things what young women are doing, young mothers are doing to their children. So, for your mother. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs, the 15th chapter, the 20th verse, a foolish man despises his mother. It's a terrible sin to despise the woman who labored to give you birth. It's a terrible sin in the eyes of God. And all of us here are grown. So if our mothers are still alive, and I'm sure for many of us, we thank the Lord, our mothers are alive. But it says, despise not thy mother when she is old. So you don't need your mother as you did when you were a youth, or when you were a child, or when you were a baby. But don't despise her, don't forget about her. If you can, any way possible, try to contact your mother this Sunday. It's a terrible thing that your mothers sacrifice and do so many wonderful things, go the extra mile for their children, and then their children get grown, go away, and never call their mothers, never write to them. That's not nice. Despise not thy mother when she is old. And in Proverbs 30, the 17th chapter, it says, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. So the Bible tells us, if you don't respect your parents as you should, that you're going to bring destruction upon your life. Now, the first commandment with promise is found in Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter, 16 verse, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. And I truly believe that many young people's lives have been cut short because they have gravely disrespected their parents, especially their mother, cursing them out, stealing from them, talking about them bad behind their backs. Terrible sin. And you have to remember that it is God who makes the law, and it's God who sees to it if you break the law, you will be punished. Because you think, well, who's going to get after me if I say such and such about her? God will. God will. But we hope and pray that none of us here this evening disrespect our mothers. And if we do, there will be a change of attitude starting right now. But since Mother's Day is this coming Sunday, my thought for this evening is a gift for mom. Because people wonder, well, what can I give my mother? You know, and some of our mothers just have everything, thank goodness, or they don't want anything because they feel they have too much. But what can I give my mother? A gift for mom. So we're going to start from the beginning, speaking about marriage, a wedding. When mom and dad got together legally, holy matrimony. And usually a wedding is a time of celebration, of great joy. And it's a time of celebration not simply because two people have met, found each other, fallen in love, but a wedding is also a time of celebration because of the potential of new life coming into the world. You see, God's ideal for children to come into the world is within holy matrimony. We know there are many out of wedlock births, but that's not God's ideal. God's ideal is that a man and a woman get married first. Fornication, sex outside of marriage, they say it's old-fashioned, but it's sin. It is sin. And one reason there's so much abortion is because of fornication. One of the venereal diseases, AIDS included, is because of fornication. And one reason there's so many children born out of wedlock, because of fornication, being neglected, not being taken care of as they should, is because of the sin of fornication. But ideally, God wants a man and a woman who say they love one another, desire one another, to get married. And then we celebrate the wedding together, knowing that there's a potential for new life to come into the world. And it's a celebration, it's a joy. It's a joy when you hear that a woman is pregnant. This is how the child should come into the world, with a mother and a father committed to each other and committed to the child that they conceived. But the Bible tells us that when Samson's mother got pregnant, she was happy. Hannah was a woman who was barren, and she went to the temple and she cried unto the Lord. I mean, she was crying so much, praying to God within her heart. And her face was so puffy, she was crying so much, that the priest there thought, Hannah, what you doing coming to the temple drunk? But she wasn't drunk, but she was pouring her heart out unto the Lord to bless her to have a child. So when she got pregnant with Samuel, she rejoiced. And the Bible tells us that Sarah, Isaac's mom, when she gave birth to Isaac, she said, the Lord hath brought me laughter. And this is the joy that should be when a child is born into this world. New life. We should have hope. We should have joy. And the Bible tells us in John 16:21, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. So a good mother, a loving mother, well, she brings forth new life. Although she may have been in labor for hours, her heart is rejoiced. Her heart is gladdened. And we would like to believe that for all of us, when our mothers gave birth to us and held each of us in their arms, that we were tender and only beloved in their sight. I mean, it's hard to imagine that we were once little babies, but yet our mothers carried us in her womb. And when she discovered she was pregnant, there was joy and anticipation. And when the baby did come, what joy, what thrill filled her heart. Just like Sarah, the Lord has brought me laughter. So the Bible says in Psalm 127, starting at the third verse, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." So the Lord is saying to us through the psalmist that children are to be a blessing. When a child is born into the family, it should be a blessing. Now, maybe all of us are not mothers or fathers, but all of us are somebody's children. You're some mother's child. But I wonder, have you been a blessing to your mother or a burden? Do you give your mother pain or pleasure? Have you brought your mother joy or sorrow? The Bible says, "A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." Because truly, when a woman gives birth and holds the baby in her arms, she has such wonderful hope for her child. But yet, when the child grows up and begins to act foolish and do stupid things, it weighs heavy on a mother's heart. Proverbs 10, the first verse reads, the Proverbs of Solomon, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." So have you been a wise son or a foolish one? The fifth verse reads, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." See, some people say, well, my mother says, if I'm happy, she's happy. But if you're into sin, your mother is not happy. She may have accepted the life you're living because there's nothing she could do about it. But if you're into drugs, your mother's not happy. If you're a homosexual, your mom's not happy. If you're selling your body as a prostitute, if you're a drunkard, if you're lazy, don't want to work, always coming to mom to beg for money, your mother's not happy. She may have accepted it because she feels you're grown. What can she do? But she is not happy. When you living like a fool, talking stupid, your mother is not happy. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You see, a mother, a good mom, wants a better life for her children. That's why she sacrifices. That's why she went the extra mile, carried the extra burden, took on the extra job. Because she says, well, I want my children to do better than me. And that's why she wanted to teach you the difference between right and wrong. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so when a mother has a baby boy, she dresses him in blue, not in pink. As the boy grows up, she puts the boy in slacks. She don't put dresses on her little son, because she's training up her son the way he should go. He shouldn't go the way of homosexuality. If a mother has a little girl, she wants her hair to grow as long as it can. She doesn't cut her hair real short. She doesn't want her daughter to grow up and be a butch. She teaches her children that there's a difference between being a boy and a girl. She teaches them the way they should go. She teaches them right from wrong. A good mother. That you shouldn't be lying. Don't lie to mama. That you shouldn't steal, take things that don't belong to you. That you shouldn't use dirty words. I'm talking about a good mother would teach you, taught you the way you ought to go. And if you had a mother that taught you the right way to live. Proverbs 1st chapter, the 8th verse reads, forsake not the law of the mother. So if you really had a mother who did teach you the right things, to be polite, to be responsible, to not do wrong but do what's right, forsake not the law of thy mother. And the Apostle Paul reminded Timothy about his grandmother, Lois, who was a Christian woman, and his mother, Eunice, who taught him the right way to live and reminded him not to go off the path of righteousness. And thank God, many of us here do have mothers or had grandmothers who love Jesus Christ. And we can say, not everybody who talks about Jesus is a hypocrite, because we know grandma was no hypocrite. Grandma was for real. You know, if I ever met a Christian, I know my grandmother was a Christian. That's a godly heritage. Or some of you may even have had mothers who were true, devout Christians. And they did raise you the way you ought to go. And I want to tell you, the first desire of any Christian mother is that her son or her daughter will grow up and be a Christian and not get caught up in the sin and vice and evil of the world. And for those who have been blessed with Christian relatives, a Christian grandmother, a Christian mother, Luke, the 12th chapter, starting at the 47th verse reads, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So God expects more from the ones who have been brought up in a Christian home. God expects more from you who have that Christian mother or that Christian grandmother, because you know better. You know better. But yet, so many who have been brought up in the church have fallen on the wayside. And now they're talking about, I'm a Hebrew Israelite. I'm a Jehovah Witness. I'm a Muslim. I'm a 5%er. I don't believe in that white man's religion. My grandmother had it all wrong. You have departed from the faith of your mother. You have forsook the law of your mother. And you know better. And if you don't come back to the fold, you will be beaten with many stripes. For whom much is given, much is expected. God does expect more from those who come from a Christian background. In Proverbs 28:7, it says, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. See, that's what your mother wants you to do. To keep the law of God. Forget about the law. I know one friend of mine, she wanted to study to be a bartender. I said, no, you don't want to sell drinks. You don't want to sell alcohol to people. And she said, well, Brenda, it's legal. It's no more prohibition. It's legal to sell alcohol. I said, but it's not right. So you can't go by the law of the state anymore. You got to go by God's laws. And whoso keepeth the law, God's laws, is a wise son. See, it's wisdom to not defile your body with drugs, alcohol, or cigarettes. That's wisdom. It's wisdom to not be out here running around fornicating, taking the risks of getting herpes, gonorrhea, syphilis. See, that's wisdom. It's wisdom to not get caught up in the sin of homosexuality, risking catching AIDS. See, that's wisdom. When you keep God's laws, you are wise. He that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and mother shall be glad, and she that bare shall rejoice. And that's what your mother is saying today. My son, be wise. Make my heart glad. You see, a mother does feel good when she sees her children responsible. You don't have to become rich as Oprah. You don't have to become as famous as Michael Jordan. But just being decent, law-abiding citizens, responsible for yourself and your children. That will make your mother rejoice. That will make your mother feel good. That all the years and all the sacrifice that she put into raising you was not in vain. A gift for your mother. What can I give my mom? You can give your mom a new son or a new daughter. Being new in Christ Jesus. And truly, your mother will rejoice. Her child, who was once in and out of jail, always in trouble, is now walking the straight and narrow. I mean, it's so sad that when you speak to women who have children and they hang their heads, they don't want to talk about their children. How do you want to talk about your son who's in jail for rape? Is that talk about? How do you want to talk about your daughter who's a junkie? How do you want to talk about your son who's wearing a dress and lipstick? How do you want to talk about those things? And you ask women about their children and they hang their heads in shame. And you know, don't ask anymore. Don't ask anymore. But it will make your mother's heart rejoice to see her son, who was once a drunkard or a thief or a homosexual or a liar or a dope fiend or a lazy bum, clean, living holy, living responsible and godly. That's a gift that you can give your mother that money can't buy. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. See, that's what the Lord can do. He can make you new. He can turn you around. He can change you. And so when your mother speaks of you or people ask her about you, it'll make her feel well. Say, well, my son, he got a job. He got his own place to live. He got married. His wife is expecting a baby. Oh, he's doing so much better. Oh, yeah, what happened? Well, he became a Christian. He's living for Jesus. And this Jesus business is real because it changed my son. And now I can feel free to invite him over to the house because I know now he won't be stealing no TV sets. He won't be going into my pocketbook. He won't be walking out with the radio. I'm so happy. Oh, I thank God. That's the gift you can give your mother. And it's appropriate to speak of the prodigal son who left the God of his father, the teachings of his father, who forsook the law of his mother to live in sin and debauchery. And when things got so bad, he was living high on the hog, enjoying sin, not thinking about God. Oh, but sin is very expensive. Drugs are very expensive. Even though St. Ives is cheap, it's still expensive. Sin is very expensive. And the party life ran him broke. The Bible tells us the rich has many friends, but the poor man, even his neighbor, despised him. Or when he was money, paying for setups, having the drugs, everybody was around him. He had plenty of friends, but when his money ran out, his friends didn't want to deal with him. And then when he needed money, oh, could I just borrow $10? You know, I gave you $20. He wanted to borrow, they didn't want to give him $5. They didn't want to give him 50 cents to buy a cup of coffee. So what was he resorted to? It got so bad that the prodigal son started getting a job feeding the pigs. First he was living high in the hog, and then he went down living amongst the hogs in the pig pen. And see, once he got in the pig pen, he really came to himself. And unfortunately, this is what a lot of us have to do to get right with God. We got to get in the pig pen of sin. And the prodigal son said, wait a minute, hold up, wait a minute. My father did not raise me for me to be in a pig pen. My mother did not give me birth, did not hold me in her arms, did not nurture me for me to end up in a pig pen. And see, that's how you gotta think. Your mother did not raise you to end up in the pig pen of sin, to end up homeless and drunk or a dope fiend. And you don't even care enough about yourself to even keep clean. Your mother did not raise you to end up like this. A whoremonger, a homosexual, a prostitute. She didn't raise you to end up in the pig pen of sin. And you say, you know that you are in the pig pen. You don't have to remind me. You don't have to tell it. You don't have to rub it in my face. I know where I am. I'm in sin. I'm in the pig pen of sin. And I know I brought shame and heartache to my mother. And so many have tried and tried to come out. It's like quicksand. You just, the more you move, it seems the more you sink. It got you so caught up. And it's just pulling you down. And you go to NA and AA. It seems like your life is just one meeting after the next meeting after the next. But you're still caught up in that sin. What can I do? What can I do? I'm sorry for what I've done to my mother, to my friends, to my family. But you know, the Apostle Paul said the same thing. When I want to do good, I do evil. And the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I keep doing. And the Apostle Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The answer, who's the deliverer? Who's the savior? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the one who's able to reach and pull you out. It's Jesus. Because Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth hath been given unto me. So Jesus Christ got the power to pull you out of the muck and mire of sin. But you must be willing to turn to him for help. You know, I was telling this young woman who went to have an abortion. And I said, look, young lady, I'm telling you there's help for you. I'm telling you there's a place for you to live, and there's money and there's funding. I'm telling you, there is help. And then I went on to tell her, if you kill this baby, it's because that's what you want to do. Because there is help. You don't have to do it. You have another choice. We're here to let you know. And what I'm here to let you know, under the authority of Jesus Christ, if you stay in sin, it's because you want to. Because God got the power to deliver you. You don't have to remain in sin. You don't have to continue to break your mother's heart. You can be changed. And the point that every Christian came to, be it as a child, thank God Miss Muse got saved as a child, or be it as a young adult. I thank God the Lord saved me when I was 22. Joey got saved when he was after the rock and roll band, and my husband got saved 26. But regardless of the age, where every Christian came to the point in which they hated their life and sin. See, that's the point. And it doesn't matter to what so-called degree you are in sin, you realize you're a sinner regardless. But you come to that realization, this is no good for me. I want out. And in John, the 12th chapter, 25th verse, it reads, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So, if you love your sinful life, I mean, you can talk the talk saying, well, I really do want to change, and I really want help, and I don't really want to stay like this. But you know, deep down in your heart, you're still enjoying the pleasures of sin. You know what's going to happen? You're going to end up in hell. But when you come to the point in which you hate this life in this world, this sinful life, you'll keep it unto life eternal. When you come to the point, I'm sick of it, I've had it, enough, I want out, then you'll run to Jesus. And he will give you life eternal. You'll die to self. You'll die to the evils of this world and run to Jesus. And he will give you everlasting life in heaven. And that's the point that the prodigal son came to when he was in the pig pen. The pig pen of sin. Enough. I'm going to return to my Father. He has someone to turn to. And perhaps your parents are dead, or perhaps because of so many lies and deceit or whatever, your folks want nothing more to do with you. But you still have someone to turn to. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. You do have someone to turn to if you truly are fed up with sin. Turn to Jesus. The prodigal son said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And it's not that we are worthy, but it's that God is merciful. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You turn to Jesus. You were born once, but you turn to the Lord. You will have a second birth, being born again. You were born of the flesh, but God wants you to be born of the Spirit, being filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit will empower you to do what you cannot do on your own. The Holy Spirit will empower you to live a righteous, a holy, a beautiful life. So Mother's Day is just a few more days, but there is a wonderful gift that you can give to your mom that you can't find at Macy's or Hallmark. A new creature in Christ. And that your mother can rejoice to see that her child is doing well. And that her sacrifice was not in vain. Everyone, please stand. Let us turn our hymnals to 187. You know your mother did not give you birth to end up in sin. If you want to be changed, if you want to be a new creature in Christ, as we sing this hymn, come up to the altar. You don't have to remain a slave to sin. You can be changed. Hymn number 187. Ask the Lord to take your life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And make you come. Because the Bible does say, whosoever will. But Jesus did tell us, compel them. And that's why we take a little extra time at this part of the service to compel you to come to Jesus. God has a better life for you. Even for your sake, for your mother's sake. Come to Christ. Don't let her giving you birth into this world be for nothing. You know, there's a lot of people, once they're in hell, they're going to wish they've never been born. But for those who will be in heaven, they'll be so thankful that they were born again. So here's a chance that God has given you. We didn't ask to be born into this world. We didn't choose our parents, but you gotta ask God to become his child. You got to choose to let God be your father. He wants to love you. He wants to love you, but you're stopping the love from coming because you're stopping him from coming into your heart. You said, not now, I don't want him. But when? The time to want God is now. And again, be a gift for mom, a new creature in Christ Jesus. So as we sing this last verse, come on up to the altar. Take my will, make it thine. It shall be. We'll close our service with Brother Joey leading us with a word.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, Lord, we pray for this man and woman here, Lord. Maybe they broke their mother's heart. Maybe they missed their mother. Lord, we just pray that they will receive you in their heart. And as the Bible says, mother and father forsake you. And sometimes it's because they passed away that you will be their father, a father who truly loves them, a father who will truly watch over them. And we know, Lord, that we have a Lord who wants to watch over us, who wants to care for us. Care for us like our mother and father can't, because only the Lord is forever. So we just pray, Lord, that again, that these men and women, that they receive Christ in their hearts, or even if they do have Christ in their hearts, that they want to be a stronger Christian, they want to be stronger in the faith. And Lord, we just thank you for your blessings, and I just pray for those who did come up, who need to be saved, that Lord, you speak to their heart, that you speak to their heart, and just let them know that you want them to be saved. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we just pray for this, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.